Well, thank you so much, Andy, and thank you so much for that beautiful time of worship that we were able to all share together this morning. God is good. He is so good. And Pete and I have so enjoyed being part, as Andy said, of your congregation whenever we have the chance to be here. We are so blessed by your friendliness, your hospitality, your warmth, your joy in worship, and your love for the Lord.
And the fact that we dismiss our kids for Kid Connection.
Yes,
she loves
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah. Kids.
Sorry, kids, go ahead.
You can go. Well, I understand you had a guest speaker last week, and I am continuing in this series from Psalm 139. So I would like to read the first six verses that he preached on last week, because it will continue into 7 through 12 that I will be looking at together with you this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day. Blessed in your precious name, as your word is brought forth, may our hearts be in tune with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 139, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. This scripture is so beautiful. It teaches of God's omniscience, his all-knowing, and his omnipresence. He is everywhere. He, wherever we go, if we go to the heavens, if we go to the depths, he is the ultimate in the vertical extreme. If we go to the far side of the sea and the dawn, we see that he is the extreme horizontal presence in our lives. It is truly a privilege for me to share with you this morning concerning these verses. And as I have been meditating on them, I found that they have so intimately connected with my life. And so that is what I would like to share with you today. My walk with God has taken me to the depths of relying not on my own self-sufficiency, but rather taking me to the heights of his glory and his holiness and his power in my life. These verses are so personal to me and my time, particularly after salvation, when I came to know the Lord and understand the Word of God. I am from central New York. I grew up outside of Syracuse, New York, in a small town. And every Sunday, my mom and dad and the five of us kids would jump into our Ford van. We were so hip back then. And we would drive to Syracuse, to University Methodist Church. It was a beautiful, and is a beautiful, stone Gothic cathedral-like building. Beautiful stained glass windows depicting the life of Christ. And here I learned the Bible stories, and I worshiped from the hymns of old, and really found a place at University Methodist that laid a foundation for what was ahead, because I never recall hearing the gospel presented clearly, that Jesus died for our sins and rose for our salvation, that we might know him, live with him, and spend eternity with him. It wasn't until after my marriage to Pete, we started to attend First Friends Church in Canton, that I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And as new believers, little did we know of the path that we would walk and often the suffering that we would undergo as we turned our acceptance of faith to living by faith. A huge difference there. We were expecting our first child when we were attending First Friends, and shortly afterwards I gave birth to our son, Samuel. But Pete and I knew that something was terribly wrong as we rushed to the hospital because he was way too early, and we knew it when we got there. Without the steroids in use today to help his underdeveloped systems, Samuel was only able to live a few hours, and then he went to be with our Lord. We were in shock as we returned home from the hospital to a nursery and to a home that our child would never know. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? I remember holding our son in a little room off the neonatal care unit. Pete and I were there together, and as I looked into his little face, I felt the presence of God as I had never experienced. He was there. He was with me. He was with us. And I felt like time stood still, and everything just kind of disappeared, melted away. It was a moment of spiritual life in God, despite the despair. Many of you know that in grieving times, we are driven to prayer to our Father. And I knew by faith that Jesus held all my tears in a bottle and that he was the lifter of my head. We were also very blessed to be part of a body of Christ. How important that is. They shared in our sorrow. And we came to understand that building walls keeps us not only away from people, but it keeps us away from God as well. He was there in the midst with his people through his word and his promises that all things will work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Through prayer and the power of hope, with perseverance in his promises, we experienced the subsequent birth of little Michael. But he too was premature and lived only a few hours. We shared David's words, "I will go to him, but he will not come to me," believing in the promise that God would reunite us in the heavenly realms. And then after several more months came Andrew, born on December 18th and going to be with the Lord the next day. Our Christmas that year was beyond any other. Because Andrew was in distress and I had to have an emergency C-section done, and I was not only in physical but also mental anguish at this time. And I was angry, really angry with God. Because it just seemed like my life was one of unanswered prayers and heartbreak. And there were times when I literally thought I was losing my mind. I just thought, I am going crazy. This is too much, and I can't handle this. But I have a wonderful, supportive husband, and I also had the Word of God. And the words of 2 Timothy 1:7, I clung to them. They were my rock. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I would say those words out loud, and the Lord ministered to me through his word. Where can I flee from your presence? I was determined, even with a faith so new, but with a foundation going strong through trial, that my identity would be found in the abundance of Christ and not in my losses. This did not come easily, but was accompanied by his presence, prayer, perseverance, poverty of the soul, and the power of hope. God supplies his power to us. I identified with Abraham in Genesis 12. He was being sent to a land that God would show him. And God had placed within us a desire to have a family, and there were family members and some friends who really thought we should just stop and not go this path. But we persevered in hope, following God to a land that he would soon show us. Eventually, great was our joy when we gave birth to Mary Joy and eventually to Amy Grace, our amazing Grace, both full term, healthy, and becoming our children of promise too. When they were born, I was just so unbelievably overjoyed. I shared Mary's song at the birth of our Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has done great things for me, and holy is his name. God uses our experiences not only for ourselves, but for others as well. My daughter, Mary, lives in Indiana with her husband and our two grandsons, and she was in her mom's group one day, and for some reason, she shared her last name was Noturno, her maiden name was Noturno, and one of the mentor moms in the group just said, "You are the one! You are the one that was born." She says, "I was at First Friends before you were born, and we prayed for your mom and dad. You are the one. You are the child that was born." And she was blessed because she had moved away, of course, since then, and now was in a group with Mary, our child of promise as well. It is wonderful how God's word speaks to us. And in Romans 4, Paul writes of Abraham's offspring and the promise that comes by faith, and God who calls all things that are not as though they were. And in this chapter, Paul writes about Abraham. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded God had power to do what he had promised. And that was the power that I clung to. God also provides through his wonderful provision of faith. And there were times when I wanted to flee God's presence in anger and disappointment. And in times of hopelessness, I cried out to God about his seemingly flawed plan for my life. And yet there he was, his right hand holding me fast. I would climb into the lap of comfort, into the comfort of the one that moments before I had been lashing out in anger. At times I lived in darkness of despair, but found that even in the darkness will not be dark to you, O God. My darkness truly eventually became light to me, because it became not sinking sand, but the solid, firm foundation of faith in Jesus Christ and his promises. In the last chapter of Hebrews, chapter 12, there is a verse that really spoke to me. It says that I had been shaken so that what cannot be shaken may remain. And those of you who have gone through difficult times, when your world falls apart, it is those things which cannot be shaken that remain, even our faith, our hope, the promises of God. Those things remain even when we are shaken to the core of our being. What shines as light in darkness? What is it that cannot be shaken? It is our faith. Paul's words from 2 Corinthians 4 have confirmed this treasure of faith to me. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Christ. What beautiful words. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we do not lose hope. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For we know our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We have a hope. We have a future. And what is our faith? It is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. How does this faith grow within us? Well, God supplies his perfecting word as well. By reading, meditating, memorizing, knowing, and trusting God's word. The Bible, of course, is more than a doctrinal handbook. It is a living document from the heart of God, for the Word of God is alive and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. It creates faith. It produces change. It causes miracles. It heals hurts. It builds character. It transforms circumstances. It imparts joy. It overcomes adversity. It defeats temptation. It builds hope. It releases power, transforms minds, brings things into being, and guarantees our future. One of the dangers that is inherent in walking with God for a long time is that we can tend to put him in that proverbial box. But there is nothing that will contain our God, as these scriptures in Psalm 139 express. In Isaiah 55, we are reminded, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." Paul's words of warning in the second chapter of Colossians are as relevant today as when he penned them. And this is a warning that we have. As we walk with the Lord, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and we have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Praise God. Amen. Well, God supplies his word, and through it we gain such strength. It's that inner strength that can't be seen. It's nothing we can touch, but it's as tangible as this Bible right before me here. We are transformed and we grow in Christ through his word. God also supplies his persevering grace. Prayer is a natural outcome of faith and incorporates perseverance in prayer as we invite God into our circumstances. James 4, 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And later in verse 11, as you know, we considered blessed those who have persevered. And I have always gained that wonderful perspective from the first chapter of James. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And this is the key. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be complete and mature, not lacking anything. And that is what we look to. We keep trusting God through it all. And as we do, we find ourselves sometimes in darkness, but realizing that there is always the light of Christ available to us. We recall Job's perseverance and how the Lord brought about his restoration. Job's response was, "The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." And even after Job's great sufferings, his response in the final chapter of Job 42:5, Job says, "My ears had heard of him, but now my eyes have seen him." And how I relate to this verse in the years that have followed conversion. No longer do I just hear from God. I see him. I see him in my life. I see him in others. I see him in the family of God. And in being part of the staff at First Friends in Canton for almost 25 years, and as a Recorded Friends pastor, the foundation of his word has not only sustained me, but it has also led me into new and wonderful territory with him. Pain will rear its head throughout our lives, and it becomes a reminder who our real enemy is. He wants to take us out. He wants to bring us down. He wants to keep us stuck in broken places. But like Job, when we see God through our pain and in the midst of our pain, we're not just hearing from him, we are seeing him, his presence on the wings of the dawn and on the far side of the sea, where his hand will hold me fast and guide me. This quote was spoken to me recently. Pain is the sensation that indicates a transformation is needed. There is a weakness where new strength needs to enter in. We must choose the long-term strength rather than temporary relief. If we avoid the hurt creates a void in us. Oh, Lord, may it not be so. We don't want to just numb our pain, because then we are never reaching the true source and issue of that with which we are dealing. We seek God and we grow through the transformation and the transforming of our minds and our spirits and our souls. There is such tremendous power in hope, as Andy and Amy sang this morning. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his hearts into his poured out his hope into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Praise God, whom he has given to us. We do not grieve as those who have no hope. We hope because he is the promise-keeping God, and we are his children, the recipients of his promises, heirs and co-heirs with Christ. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. He anointed us, set his seal upon us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Amen. I yielded my dream of raising sons to the Lord, and because of his promises, I know that we will be reunited in the heavenly realms. And that reunion is going to be greater than anything I could ever possibly know or imagine. In the meantime, God has blessed us with two wonderful daughters, two precious sons-in-laws who bring great joy to our life, and four precious grandchildren. My two grandsons in Indiana, as I mentioned, and of course, as you know, our little Betta and Milana here in Salem. And through the years, there have been other times of grieving and pain, but the times of joy and blessing and experiencing God's abundant grace has been so much greater. God knows us thoroughly. He knows everything about us, as this psalm expresses. And we can go about our everyday lives and all our situations and all the conditions that come about knowing that God does not abandon us. He does not forget us. He is with us, and He is never too busy to neglect us. Even when we are in trouble or difficult circumstances, in those places of darkness and night, we are not hidden from His presence, as this psalm expresses so beautifully. We can praise the Lord, who has carefully created us and leads us through life, for even the darkness will not be dark to Him. And that is such a blessing to us. As I've been preparing this message, all of you have been in my prayers as well. And since the day I heard about you, I have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And I pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power through His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and strength. Praise God. What a wonderful scripture that we have from God. We are so privileged to be part of the body of Christ, because it is through one another that we can also come to know the greater dimensions that we have in God. Even the darkness will not be dark to you, O Lord. I have a few things for you to reflect upon in the next few moments as the Holy Spirit speaks to you today. The first of which is, are you questioning the assurance of God's presence with you, His acting on your behalf, or feeling He does not hear you? Pray that He would empower you to trust Him more, to believe in His promises by faith. Thank Him that He is always with you, even when you may feel far from Him. Or are there dark places in your life where you are ready to ask God for His persevering grace? Pray that He would empower you to let perseverance finish its work, so that you will be equipped to move into new areas of His plan and purpose for your life. Did I skip one there? Did I skip number two? I can't remember. If there are dark places in your life, ask Him to enter in. Are they on the screen? Oh, good. Okay. Did I do the third one yet? Are you placed in your life to seek that persevering grace of God? Was the third one. Thank you for putting that on the screen. So as you read through these and as you reflect on how God is at work in your life right now, I would ask you to take time to pray. So close your eyes and bow your heads and let the Holy Spirit really speak to you about any of these areas, perhaps one that's not even listed here, that God wants to speak to you and bring reassurance of who He is into your lives. So I'll give you a few moments to do that. Go right ahead, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We are your grateful people, O Lord. You are our eternal, omniscient Father who desires every bit of us, all of us, just as you have given all of yourself to us through our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Convict our hearts today, Lord, to love you more, to trust you more, to serve you more with a righteousness that seeks only your glory and not our own. You are our everything, and we praise you this day and bless you every day. Bless us, O Lord, we pray, as we give you your rightful place of honor in our families, our church family, trusting your power in those who have come before us and those yet to be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.